You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Save big at Menards and prepare for the summer heat with a new air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Cool your space from anywhere in the room with 3 cooling speeds and a remote control. Save big money on Denali air conditioners. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Dude, we have an action-packed TFL Talking Trucks podcast right now because there's a lot of news and also a lot to discuss.
As usual, we've got a lot to talk about. Where do you want to start?
Well, how about this? So I want to start with the rapid-fire news section, which I like to call rapid-fire, because Ram is coming out with, I think, pretty seismic news.
Yeah, it's
in the world of trucks.
Substantial warranty that they're offering, which is always something we like seeing.
And usually, like, I don't, you know, talking about warranties is not very sexy, but in this case, it's quite interesting. And so let's discuss that. I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so
you've been out of the country.
Yeah, out of the country, out of this, you know, state. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Hemi returning to the Ram, F-150 Lobo. A truck we just purchased, another long-term truck.
Yeah.
And also, I have a list. I've been working on this list for quite some time because this got me to thinking, over the last 5 years, there were at least 6 failed electric truck companies.
That's true. It seems to happen a lot. It's definitely a difficult thing to do to bring a brand new truck to market.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that we can talk about there. But to start things off, we'll kick off with this warranty that Ram is offering on their new trucks moving forward, which again, like you said, it doesn't sound that exciting, but this warranty is a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, which is huge, especially when we compare it to other truck manufacturers' warranties.
Exactly, and they're calling it the limited powertrain warranty. So as with any warranty, I mean, it's debatable. It's always case-by-case basis, but they're coming out of the gate swinging. So let's just talk really quickly what other manufacturers of pickup trucks are offering. So GM has a 3-year, 36,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and 5-year and 60,000-mile powertrain warranty. And actually, this particular warranty type is mirrored by every other manufacturer, basically.
Yeah, that's pretty standard. GM does do a more substantial warranty on their EV truck, so that's an 8-year, 100,000-mile warranty. So kind of similar to the Ram warranty, just a little bit less on the time scale. Mm-hmm. But that's for EV trucks specifically, like the Silverado EV, Sierra EV, Hummer EV. But for the gas-powered trucks, we're looking at what
almost
you said.
Half,
yeah, 3-year, 36,000, yeah. Bumper-to-bumper, 5-year, 60,000 powertrain.
Yeah, so it's almost half of what now Ram wants to offer. And of course, you know, 10-year, 100,000-mile warranties are not like brand new. Kia and Hyundai, you know, have been offering very similar warranties for a very long time. So this is nothing new. But usually a manufacturer does this for a couple of reasons, right? You know, just kind of, you know, first of all, kind of raising awareness and raising kind of the confidence in their brand. But also, I was listening to Tim Koniskis, the CEO. He's back now at Ram. And he was saying a couple of very interesting points. First of all, a brand new pickup truck, all of them are getting more expensive.
Yeah.
And people are financing more and more. And some of those loans are 7 to 8 year, maybe sometimes longer loans. So if your warranty doesn't cover the entire financial loan of your truck, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate. And they want to try and keep some of their customer base. The other cool thing about this warranty is that it's for 1500s, 2500s, 3500s, chassis cabs, even ProMaster vans. So all of those Ram products are moving forward going to get this huge warranty. And if you're financing it over a long period of time, you're going to be a lot less likely to be in a situation where you're just out of luck with a broken down vehicle that's not covered under warranty that you're still making payments on, which is a cool thing.
Exactly, totally. And also, according to Ram, RHO is going to be covered as well. And we're talking about 2026 model year. And 2026 model year, I think for the 1500 Rams, is only a couple months away. Mm-hmm. So they said like summer to late summer, those vehicles are coming out. So this is happening very, very soon. So for 2026 model year, this is going to be the ongoing limited powertrain warranty. And the other point that Tim was talking about is that truck loyalty.
Yeah.
So when customers like you and I buy a pickup truck, they tend to stick with that brand. I mean, here at TFL Studios, TFL Truck, we have to try every pickup truck. So
yeah.
So we're not part of that demographic, I guess. But usually when a person purchases, I don't know, a Ford, a Ram, a Chevy, a GMC, a Toyota, a Nissan, they tend to go back to that brand at like 80-85% of the time.
Yeah, which is one of the big reasons that Ram wants to hold on to their customer base, especially because they have been behind as far as sales go. So they need to do everything they can to keep customers, keep people interested in these trucks. And another big aspect of that has been them bringing the Hemi back to Ram trucks. Now, to be fair, just so that we're specific in the way that we talk,
yeah.
The 6.4 Hemi was still in the 2500s in HD trucks, but the Hemi is now coming back to the 1500. The only bummer, though, I think both you and I would have liked to see or would like to see eventually moving forward them update this generation of the Hemi or, well, basically create a new generation of the Hemi that has better efficiency, better power figures, improvements across the board.
Just more modern.
To keep it, more modern engine. Because it's definitely an aging layout.
Well, yeah, it's been around for, what, over 20 years? I mean,
it's not a
as
new
far
motor.
As... Yes, and of course it's been slightly updated over the years, and also in 2019 they introduced the e-torque system, which initially sounded very exciting, but over the years there have been some failures with this system, and also it's a mild hybrid system, so you cannot drive a truck solely on electricity.
It's very mild.
Yeah, very, very, very mild, and we owned a 2019 Ram 1500 Rebel with the e-torque Hemi, and we almost saw no better efficiency over the regular Hemi.
Yeah.
So
it's not that it doesn't have any impact on the powertrain at all, but as Tommy would say, it's not really a night and day difference. It's kind of a night and late evening difference.
Yeah, a dusk.
Yeah.
A dusk tonight.
Yeah, it's...
So...
It doesn't hurt, but the e-torque doesn't make the kind of difference that we want to see with them hopefully eventually creating an entire new generation of the Hemi V8. And that's part of the reason that they've pushed back some of the electrified pickup trucks like the Rev that they were planning, because they want to focus on getting these Hemis back into the Rams, which is something that customers want. So we're happy about it, but they could still do more to develop these engines.
I think so, because look, so it came back with 395 horsepower, which is what the rating was before. Ford is offering the 5-liter, which is smaller displacement than the 5.7 Hemi, with 400 horsepower. GM has their own V8 engines in the gasoline lineup, and also they're investing into the sixth generation, brand new generation of their V8 engines. So there's a lot of momentum in this space, right? So I'm happy that Ram is back kind of in this game. And this is a weird thing. Oh, by the way, every new V8 has an e-torque, so you cannot get it without. And every new V8 Ram 1500 has their, what they used to call GT or sport exhaust system.
Which is cool. Not mad about that.
Loud, which is amazing. So it's one of the best sounding engines. But the engine is down on power when you compare it to the Hurricane.
Yeah.
It could be just as efficient in certain circumstances. And it's more expensive than the new Hurricane that they have. So it's kind of a weird game.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they're offering more choices. So for that person who really loves that traditional sound, they have it back.
Yeah.
In the new truck.
Yeah, which I'm definitely happy about. And hopefully, just as a sign of things to come, it means they will move in the same direction as like what you're saying with GM, investing in those V8s, modernizing them, keeping them available.
Yeah. So, and also, they said they're not backing down completely from electrified versions either.
Yeah.
So, the Ram 1500 Ram Charger, which is their plug-in, range extended hybrid, right?
Yeah.
That's still coming next year. So they didn't cancel it. It's not like they're switching all the way from, you know, electrification back to V8.
Yeah, they're just delaying those trucks.
Yeah, they're delaying them a little bit because they need to work a lot on, you know, what's going on now. And also offering more choice. And choice is king.
When are we supposed to see the Rev?
First quarter of 26, right? Okay. As of right now.
Yeah.
So we're under a year away.
Yeah.
From the Rev. I'm sorry, not the Rev. The Ram Charger. I don't like that name.
Yeah. They're not the catchiest names.
Well, I understand why, because Charger used to be an SUV
also. Yeah, it used to be its own vehicle.
And it also, now there's also a Dodge Charger.
Yeah.
So it's a whole confusion. I mean, there's just...
Yeah, and hopefully we see the Hemi go back into the Charger. That would be pretty cool. But there is another V8 truck that's been in the news, and that is the F-150 Lobo. And I think you and I are both on the same page that just a little disappointed in it.
So at first, there was a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
There were some prototype images of the new F-150 Lobo. And the Lobo is their new kind of a little bit more street-oriented performance brand. Because the Maverick Lobo has been around, you know, you went out and drove it at the event.
Yep.
We haven't really tested it here yet, the Maverick Lobo. But so they're expanding this Lobo brand, right?
Yeah.
So there's some excitement here. But so they did some styling updates on the F-150 Lobo, and I actually went out to Detroit and I saw it. And probably the most notable is the front end. So if you're watching us on TFL Talk YouTube channel, thank you. And if you're just listening to us, they basically changed the grille and they put the white LED light signature from the headlamp into the grille.
And I got to say, I almost like the F-150 front ends that use amber accent lighting more than the white accent lighting that they're putting here on the Lobo. I would actually argue that the Maverick Lobo's styling changes versus the standard Maverick do more for it, especially with those kind of classic turbofan style wheels that they put on it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes that truck stand out. This new F-150 Lobo, they have made changes to the body. I wouldn't necessarily call it a body kit, but...
It kind of is, because they changed the lower bumper in the front.
Yeah.
They changed the skirt. The
side skirts. It's a weird way to describe the bodywork on a truck, calling them side skirts. Well, they lowered the rear end a little bit, right?
Yeah, so it's now... They didn't lower the front end, by the way.
Yeah.
Which I thought they might.
Leveled it out.
But they basically lowered the rear end suspension and basically made it, when it's empty, running unladen, it's basically level now.
Yeah, and they're... 5-liter Coyote V8 powered only, no power bump.
Right.
So you're not getting any extra horsepower. It just has the standard V8 you can get in any other F-150 like our Tremor.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, there's kind of a precedent set there because the Maverick Lobo doesn't have any extra power either. And I love the fact that they're using a 5-liter in it, and that's a good platform that you can even expand upon and throw power adders at it and make a ton more power. One thing that bums me out, though, is that they're not offering this F-150 Lobo as a 2-door. It's only a 4-door. And
I
get it.
Or even extended cab.
Yeah.
Other cabs, too.
I get it. Most people don't buy 2-door trucks. The vast majority of sales are full crew cabs. But when you're talking about a street truck, a performance truck, the single cab thing just makes sense. And if you look out there online of people that are hot-rodding Coyote-powered F-150s, which plenty of people do, they're usually doing it with single-cab trucks. And they have a single-cab F-150, so why not make a version of this body kit to put onto that?
Yeah.
How hard would that be?
It'd
be a different side skirt, but what? I mean, it's the same grille, same bumper, same lights, right?
Yeah.
Same wheels.
Same suspension setup, potentially.
Yeah, but possibly.
Or very similar suspension.
Very similar. So
yeah.
Other than a different set of side skirts, I would have to imagine that making a two-door version of this Lobo wouldn't be that difficult.
By the way, do you like the lower bumper section? It looks like it's like the chin spoiler is kind of jutting out a little bit. Do you like that design, or do you wish it was a little different?
It reminds me of the profile and the shape on the Maverick Lobo a little bit. I don't think it's bad. I think it's fine. Yeah. It's just that this truck, to me, and maybe it's the colors that I've seen in the press photos so far, it doesn't stand out enough. The Lobo on the Maverick stands out to me, especially, again, because of those wheels.
Yeah.
You just can't not notice
and
that.
And the grille it has as well.
And yeah. Everything else that they did kind of complements that. But this F-150 Lobo, it just doesn't stand out as much.
So, yeah, I'm a little bit bummed. So what I'm not bummed about is the dual exhaust system that they have on it. And the Coyote sounds really good, like our 5-liter Tremor. We were just hooking up trailers to it.
Absolutely.
And it was just idling there sitting. And it's a pleasant sound.
You know, it is.
It's a kind of a low V8 sound. Very nice and pleasant. But I'm a little disappointed because, like you said, no additional power. I can almost do this.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like, if I had an F-150 already in my garage, I can almost do similar kit just on my own.
Yeah.
Like, I could buy different wheels. I can maybe lower the rear suspension a little bit myself. I probably wouldn't be able to do that LED signature in the grille myself because that's kind of a unique thing that Ford did. But I could almost reproduce most of this stuff on my own in my garage already, so it wasn't like special to me.
Yeah, I think we were both hoping for a little bit more.
Yeah, like the Raptor, when the Raptor came out, it had unique suspension, unique power, which was more powerful than the standard.
Or what the F-150 Lightning used to be in kind of, you know, in the
supercharged ones.
Really arguably the golden era of these sport trucks, these street performance trucks, the F-150 Lightning was awesome. That was a really cool single cab supercharged.
And it's collectible
truck.
Now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah, it's collectible. People are like seeking those out and like really looking for those original Lightnings.
And this is definitely not taking it nearly that far.
Yeah. So what do you think will happen? So, I mean, they're committed to this. This comes out, in several months, I believe, this year. They're still calling it the 2025, by the way.
Interesting.
So this is not a new model year. I'm pretty sure it will continue in 2026 model year.
Yeah.
But I guess depends on the sales success of this. They might listen to some of these comments, and they might
do more.
They might do more, but who knows?
I would love to see it if they do.
Would you think... What if they did a hybrid Lobo? Do you think it's missing the point? Because a hybrid Lobo would have more horsepower.
Like the regular power boost.
Like a lot more torque. You could use the power export feature on that. Would that make it better or not quite there?
I don't think so, because the nice thing about this Coyote setup is, again, it's a Coyote. It's a platform. Well, yeah, it sounds good out of the box, which is great. But it's a platform on which you can expand, tune. Not to say that you can't do the same thing with an EcoBoost.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah.
But the Coyotes are great for throwing power out making a ton.
A Whipple supercharger from Ford Performance.
Yeah.
Which is a warrantied item.
But the other
at
thing,
the dealer.
And not that this is a unsolvable issue, but your power boost that you had back in the day, for as much torque as it had, it didn't want to do a burnout.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I think if you're buying a street performance truck, it must be able to do a burnout.
Yeah. This is really good consumer advice we're giving right here.
Well,
if you're buying a Power Boost thinking you're going to be ripping smoky burnouts, think again.
So by the way, I think you could probably tune a Power Boost hybrid F-150 because I think there's something going on. You know, some of the newer vehicles, they have when you push the brake and a throttle pedal at the same time,
yeah,
the brake
like
pedal
that.
Wins.
Yeah.
Basically, the computer says, oh my gosh, what's happening? Like,
which is fair. For most drivers, that is a good thing.
So even though it had 570 pound-feet of torque, you could never chirp the tires.
Yeah, it's like the computer programming and the traction control and everything was too smart for its own good.
Yeah, so they need to have a special mode if there is going to be a performance hybrid that let it burn.
Which isn't unheard of, line lock.
Yeah, line lock.
They could do it.
Yeah, they can do it.
But it doesn't seem like they want to put that level of energy into this trim package. So I'm cool with it having a Coyote. I wish it had a two-door, and I'm not even that mad that it doesn't have any extra power over the regular Coyote, because again, like you said, from Ford, you can get the Whipple supercharger and make a ton of horsepower, which is awesome. So if they did this Lobo package in a way that looked a little bit more striking and was offered with a two-door, then I'd be excited.
They also introduced it in black on black, black wheels, black exterior, dark interior. It's based on the STX package F-150, basically.
And it's photos of it in the dark.
And there are photos of it in the dark alley, in the dark in the city.
Yeah.
So it's hard for us to see even the styling of this thing.
Because this part of it is going to be terrible for the people listening, but we're looking at a photo of a pretty standard-looking black F-150 in a dark alley. And if I saw that truck there, if I was walking down the street past that truck, I'd walk right by it.
Well, even with the lights on or just normally just sitting there?
Yeah, no, as it sits right now, I just walk
you
right
just
past
walk
it.
Right by.
I wouldn't stop and turn my head and think,
Yeah, that's something special.
No, I'd walk
Anyways,
right past.
So it's only crew cab only, four-wheel drive only, which is, I think, okay. I mean, otherwise you'll just be burning the rear tires all day long. Starts at $59,995, which is already a fairly steep price to begin with.
Yeah.
For this particular package.
I agree.
All right. So switching topics a little bit. So just talking about our fleet. And I don't want to discuss this completely because I think there will be another time. We have a video coming about this at alltfl.com on the TFL Truck channel.
Mm-hmm.
But I went away. So I was in South Korea for about a week. And there was a Hyundai event. We were looking at the new IONIQ 6N high-performance sedan.
Yeah, which is pretty rad, fast car.
Which is amazing. So more about that soon.
Yeah.
But when I returned and I listened to the previous podcast, which you and Roman did, mm-hmm. you guys dropped a couple of hints, and that got me really, really excited because you said something like, Roman just bought another truck for the company.
Excited and maybe concerned because...
Yes.
He didn't tell you what he bought.
Well, first of all, I didn't know what was sold in order to afford this new truck.
Yep.
So I was a little concerned, like, what is he selling? What is he buying? But I was also very excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, we have a new vehicle so we can start doing more testing and doing more videos with. But now I know what it is.
Yeah. And as we speak, that new truck is right on the other side of the wall behind this camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right over there.
So let's see. So this goes live on audio a day before, 2 days before. So we can't say. Maybe we could just say the brand. How about that? The brand.
Or
the
we
brand.
Could say of some of the features that it has.
Okay. How about that? Yes. So features and also color.
Yes.
Unbelievable exterior color.
It is so. I don't think there's anything else to compare it to. It is the color of a pumpkin, so it's like a very light, pastelish kind of orange. There was a little bit of argument that it's yellow. It's not yellow.
I made that argument when I was looking at it in the sun, in direct sunlight. I was blinded by it, and I thought it was yellow. But then Mary and you said that something was wrong with me.
It's orange,
for sure. It's
orange. Pumpkin colored, straight up. But the other cool thing, the color, arguably controversial. What's not controversial is front and rear lockers.
Yes.
That's a pretty big deal.
And what another thing that's pretty cool, it's considerably under 60 grand.
Yeah.
So it's not an 80 or a 90 or a $100,000 vehicle. Mm-hmm. It's actually in the mid-50s.
And with that information alone, I think a lot of people out there will be able to figure out what truck we got, because there's not tons of trucks you can get with front and rear lockers, period, and especially not under $60,000.
From the factory.
That I can think of.
And
is there three?
And by the way, the color is not called pumpkin. The
color has
another name.
Yes.
It just looks like a pumpkin.
It is a pumpkin.
So that's probably enough clues for you guys. The price in the mid-50s, color and front and rear locking differentials.
Yeah, I bet you'll be able to figure it out.
Okay.
Or get pretty close.
Now, can we switch gears now?
Again? I'll allow it.
Okay. So I've been thinking, I think mostly on the plane, spending a lot of time on the plane.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, last 5 years were kind of really amazing in the automotive industry, because we saw a huge influx of new companies.
Yeah.
There was new excitement.
A lot of ups and downs.
A lot of ups and downs. And now, after about 5 years, looking back about to 2019, maybe 6 years ago to now, a lot of electric truck companies failed.
Yeah.
And only like one or two survived.
And a lot of the ones that didn't fail still kind of disappointed us.
Yes.
It seems to be the new norm that they will come out with a design, an idea that has a lot of potential, to be fair, but the numbers that are initially promised about range, about capability,
powertrain,
price,
yeah,
they always get pared down to something that's more realistic, or
it never happens,
or the company just doesn't dies. Make it to begin with.
Yes. So let's start, Cole. Let's start this list. So I put together a top six list with a bonus, and number six on my list, counting down, is a company called Atlas.
Yeah, this is a truck that some of you may not have heard of, but it is an interesting idea, and this falls squarely into the camp of making some big promises. They were talking about, 35,000 pounds of towing capability?
Basically, if you imagine a heavy-duty pickup, like a one-ton diesel, and maybe a dually, they're saying it would match that performance or capability, but be all electric.
Yeah, and they were saying 500 miles of range, but still charging it back up in 15 minutes.
But also using, I think, like a range extended capabilities.
Yeah.
So like not just all battery, but also having a little generator or maybe even a hydrogen system.
But these were some big promises.
Yeah.
Not easy things to actually make happen.
If you're watching us, so you could see some of these images of the concept trucks and some of the production chassis that they actually produced. But this truck never went into production. And so they built a skateboard, right? So this company was based out of in Arizona and then Mesa, Arizona. And then I actually interviewed the CEO on this podcast show.
So you can check that out.
I remember, so if you dig deep enough into the archives of TFL Talking Trucks, you'll be able to see our interview. And also, I remember this very clearly because he was excited. His excitement was contagious. I was getting excited. And I invited him to the iGauntlet. And I said, when you have a working prototype, come out to the iGauntlet to Colorado, because it's not far from Arizona, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's only 500 miles.
It's a doable drive.
And we'll show it. And we'll
actually pull in a single charge.
Yes. And we'll tow a trailer with it, and we'll show it. And he said, stay tuned. We're working very, very hard. But it never came.
Yeah. And again, that is a common theme that we're going to see with all of these brands that we're about to
go
through.
Look at this, a flatbed. They had a crew cab flatbed version of it.
Flatbeds are cool.
Yeah. Australian people would love this. Look at this.
Absolutely.
Anyways, so that was Atlas. The company was renamed, also like restructured.
Yeah.
I think it was publicly traded.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy. I mean, crazy type stuff. All right. Next company that has failed.
Yeah, and this was one of the more recent. This is Canoe.
Yeah.
Also a really interesting design and one that got pretty far along because you actually rode along in a prototype of this, didn't you?
Exactly. And this was about the same time where I purchased my Russian little bread loaf van, the Buhanka van. And this has kind of a similar forward control type design where the driver sits very, very close to the front axle.
Yeah,
not on top of the front axle.
Sets it apart a little bit.
Yeah, but close to the front axle. So there's a little storage area in the front. Very cool design, I thought. Very space efficient because you could turn it into a van. You can put a camper shell on it in the concept. You could put a roof rack on it. You could have different lengths of it. And it was going to be drive-by-wire. You know how the Cybertruck came out with drive-by-wire
as well? Yeah,
like
steer-by-wire?
Steer-by-wire, which means you could put the steering wheel anywhere.
Yeah.
Left, right, center. Really amazing concept. And I went for a ride in one, not a pickup truck version, but a van in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah, which was...
It was cool.
Pretty exciting. So they actually had a working prototype of it.
Yeah, several working prototypes.
That you were able to check out, poke around, go for a ride in. So they made it quite a ways. And there was a big investment in this company to get it to this point.
And also publicly traded as well on the stock market.
But then the financial issues started.
Yeah, and I think really the struggle here is it's really not easy. It's relatively easier to come up with a concept like this and actually create one version of
it.
But making 10,000 of them or 20,000 of them or 50,000 of them is exponentially harder.
I think to your point, it's comparatively easy. Not that either of us would be able to do something like this.
Maybe David.
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe David can
Maybe
do
David.
It. Yeah.
Neither of us could do something like this, but comparatively, getting it to market significantly more challenging.
Yeah, and when I was riding, because they didn't let me drive it because it was a concept in Indianapolis, when I was riding in it, everybody was rubbernecking. When we were driving on the street, everybody would do
it. It was a big deal.
It was not an F-150 Lobo.
Yeah.
Everybody noticed. Everybody noticed.
Yeah.
Everybody looked at it. Had amazing turning radius, because it has variable angle steering, right? The slower you go, the sharper the wheels turn. We were doing like little donuts, like in the little space in the city.
Yeah, it was a cool design.
Okay.
One that is arguably not as cool of a design was the Bollinger B2, which
we have here.
I wasn't universally disliked necessarily, but it was a slightly controversial design because it looks a little homemade.
Okay. Let me try to defend it.
Sure.
I can defend it. Maybe because I was there when the company was first unveiled. I remember this. This was around a New York Auto Show in April. Mm-hmm. I forget the year. I think it was 2018. Maybe Cole can correct me, our producer Cole. But I was there in person. It was a big deal, big show. The company was basically one man's vision, Robert Bollinger. And the Bollinger company is named after him, after his family, right? So he basically put up a lot of his own money. So it's kind of like American dream, right?
Yeah.
A successful person had another idea about building a new vehicle, and he wanted it to be very utilitarian and electric. And he had a couple of different... high-level criteria, like it had to be 4x4, very capable, because he had like some land. He wanted to use it to work at the ranch, basically. Bring telephone poles, fix fences.
Yeah, long objects.
Long objects.
Because you could put something in it from basically the end of the tailgate all the way to the nose of the truck, right?
Yeah, because there was an opening inside the dashboard.
Yeah.
So basically you could slide
not only like a mid-gate like what you had back in the day on an Avalanche or some of the modern GM electric trucks, a mid-gate and a what would you call that? Firewall gate.
Firewall gate? Yes.
Yeah, so an interesting concept.
Oh my gosh, look how young I used to look.
I know. Your grays.
I don't have any gray hair. So see what this industry did to me?
Yeah.
Because of all these failures, I got gray hair.
It was specifically the EV startups that did it to Andre.
No, actually, I think it was a Roman.
Yeah, that would make sense too. Him buying trucks without consulting you every time you leave town.
Right. Right. So what year was this, Cole? 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was three years before I started.
So, yeah. So, this has been a while. So, they've been working for at least, 8 years, maybe even longer, because they worked on this company before the vehicle actually was shown. The truck version of it is kind of looks like a made out of Lego, right?
Yeah.
It's very square, very bulky. Like you said, a little bit homemade. But I think that was the genesis of it. That was like the vision. It had to be utilitarian.
Simplicity, yeah.
Simplicity, which are all good things. Look, exposed hinges on the doors, very easy to replace lights. You could almost come up to it with a screwdriver, undo a couple of panels, and you can replace a side panel, a headlamp. It was really cool concept.
Yeah, it kind of reminds us a little bit of a current startup.
Slate.
That we'll talk about in a little bit.
Not because they failed.
They're still on.
They're still on. But Slate has a kind of a similar simplicity concept, right?
For sure.
And by the way, I went to Michigan. I met Robert Ballinger and his team. We went for a drive, once again, a ride, because it was a prototype. I wasn't allowed to drive. And then nothing.
Yeah. Which is the way it seems to go.
And I think the real issue was they were looking for a partner, you know, a factory, basically not made in-house, but actually like outsourcing the production of the vehicle to another company. And after they productionalized it, by the way, this is a productionalized version with all the angles and all the parts. This vehicle would have cost somewhere around $120,000. So buying a very simple, but very capable, by the way, four-wheel drive, high-clearance truck for $120,000 to start.
Yeah, which is tough because for $120,000, you can buy a truck that's been styled.
Well, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
But you could also buy a Raptor R for that money.
Yeah, or the nicest HD truck you can
probably, like we've specced out, we saw some King Ranch F-350s with winches. For like $105,000.
Yeah.
Diesel.
And those are also arguably pretty capable trucks.
And also, you said, with some styling.
Yeah, they have actually been designed.
Well,
on
this
the
was also designed. I mean,
not on the outside.
So the beauty is on the inside case, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we move on to the next one?
Yeah, so let's talk about this. This is the Nikola Badger.
Yeah, this is also the semi truck company, right? So the Nikola hydrogen powered semis and electric semi trucks. This is kind of a messy one.
Yeah.
So
there was a lot of
their semi trucks came first. So they announced a Nikola company as, by the way, when it first was announced, you know, Tesla, his name was the person Tesla.
Yeah.
His name was Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
So Tesla has been around. Already, what?
Parting out his name into brands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they divided his name. His last name became a company, and his first name became a different company. And so Nikola, they wanted to basically revolutionize the semi-truck industry, which is actually a good idea because...
Yeah, it would be a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal because a lot of freight, I don't know, I don't have a percentage... But a huge amount of freight in the U.S. is moved by truck.
The vast majority of products that you buy have been on a truck at some point.
Yeah.
Even the materials to build the building that we're in right now, the phones that are in our pockets.
This table.
The clothes that we're wearing. Yeah. Vast majority of it has been on a semi-truck at some point.
Exactly. So in order to, you know, maybe revolutionize it, making it cleaner. Also, you know... I would argue an electric truck, forget about charging for a second, but you actually gain energy on the way down a hill or a mountain.
Yeah, as we found in the mountains.
So you can actually recoup energy. You can actually go up a mountain at speed limit versus crawling speeds that we see in the Colorado mountains. So there's, you know, you can get there quicker, maybe, you know, and save energy while doing it. So there's a lot of good benefits But what I think is stopping a lot of this progress is that cost of components.
Yeah.
Hydrogen fuel cells are very expensive still. Also, infrastructure.
Yeah.
There is no hydrogen fuel stations. There is no capable chargers for semi-trucks. So that's what's stopping it. And then they wanted to build a Badger, basically a pickup truck, which was also going to be a hydrogen fuel cell powered version of a pickup truck and actually styled.
Yeah, it's a more interesting looking vehicle than the Bollinger that we were just looking at, but it doesn't seem like this made it nearly as far in its development process.
So I believe, and I was watching Heavy D video from the Diesel Brothers.
Yeah.
They made like one or two prototypes, actually rolling prototypes of this with the same styling, which I think is pretty attractive. It has a little bit of a Ford, a little bit of GM element. Maybe
even almost a Toyota look in the cab.
Yeah, maybe almost a Tacoma or a Tundra look to it. I mean, it's collaboration of a lot of different design elements, which I think is still pretty attractive.
Yeah.
So they made one or two rolling prototypes of this, but then the company got into legal problems. There's many different shows that we've done about that, but it never actually got off the ground.
Yeah.
And then they kind of scrapped the Badger project and kind of pushed forward with their semis, and now they're bankrupt.
Yeah. Which, again, easy thing to do. There's a lot of money that you can spend trying to develop and bring to market a vehicle for mass production.
Do you want to hear about another messy one?
Is it Lordstown?
Yeah. So Lordstown, they had a truck called Endurance. So yeah. Also related to a company called Workhorse. Also a collaboration with GM on some, actually, GM wasn't really involved. It's just some of the suppliers and some of the components of a Lordstown Endurance truck were like switchgear, some of the interior components like a cab, bed design, that type of stuff was similar suppliers to a General Motors truck.
Yeah.
I don't like the look of it. I mean, no, the design of it is weird.
Am I crazy in saying it almost has a Nissan-looking front end?
I could see that.
A little bit, but not like a Frontier.
No, this was a full-size truck.
Almost like an Aria-looking front end.
Yeah, like a current Aria.
Yeah.
Yes, the way that kind of the side grill area looks on this.
I think it's a little too soft in its lines on the front end.
Yeah, but styling is the least of its problems.
Yeah, that's fair. Very fair.
Because, once again, there were problems. So they wanted to target, like, the commercial market also. So utility companies, cities, contractors who want a kind of a simpler electric vehicle to move their, you know, cargo and everything that they need from here to there in the city. So this was not going to be like a long-range driving truck.
Right.
But just kind of a working vehicle. We saw it. Tommy interviewed the CEO. I've interviewed several people at Lordstown. They had some development issues. They had a plant in the United States, Lordstown, in Lordstown. But they went away.
Yeah. Nothing became of it.
Yeah.
And the last thing that we'll... or one of the last ones that we'll talk about that so far we've seen nothing from, was a interesting looking design of a truck called the Alpha Wolf, which is a little bit less of a utility design than some of the other trucks that we were looking at.
Something fun,
A little bit more of a off-roader, 4x4, leisure or recreation type vehicle.
Yeah, and I know very little about this company. I put this on this list because I know Nathan, our colleague Nathan Adlin, also has seen this truck at several events, and I love this design concept.
Sure, because it looks good. It's one of the better looking trucks that we've pulled up.
Yeah, because it combines like retro styling with like futuristic technology. Right, it combines electrification and kind of a interesting technology with like really 70s or 80s looking vehicle,
yeah,
which I think is pretty cool.
I like the design. I got to say the name is not my favorite. It's a little. I'd be a little embarrassed if somebody asked, "What are you driving these days?"
The Alpha Wolf.
I'm in an Alpha Wolf.
Well, but That makes it sound powerful,
it
right?
Does it? Yeah, I don't know. I think it makes itself sound a little too, taking itself too seriously.
Well, so by the way, I don't want to completely label this as a failure. Because
sure, yeah,
this could materialize in the next year or two or something like this. So I don't want to completely label this as something that's completely failed. But we haven't seen any test prototypes running around. We haven't seen any invitations for events. We haven't seen, I mean, even Tello and Slate have invited people and showed working prototypes and actually had people experience them. And Alpha hasn't done this.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of movement
right
happening.
There's another bonus here. So we're basically at the end of this list. Have you heard of Fisker?
I sure have.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Both the times they've given it a go.
Both failures. So Henrik Fisker is a designer who has amazing eye for design.
Yeah,
right?
And has created some genuinely very interesting vehicles. But once again, it's incredibly difficult to actually launch a company that's going to mass produce a vehicle. And there's been plenty of difficulty there.
Yeah, so he created and actually sold, I don't know, several thousand Fisker Oceans SUVs. But he also showed the world the Fisker Alaska pickup truck, which was like a miniature Avalanche, like the current Silverado EV, you know, like with the midgate and all that stuff.
And it's got a bit of the shape of a Santa Cruz almost, but I would argue it's a sharper
maybe
looking truck than the Santa Cruz.
It's got a little bit of Santa Cruz in it, a little bit maybe. Gosh, it's kind of tall belt line. The belt line is very tall and the glass.
Small greenhouse,
but still very attractive, good looking. But the company is gone. I mean, it's bankrupt now. So Fisker was a concept, but never, I mean, the Alaska truck was a concept, but actually never came.
And there are Oceans out there, but that's potentially a kind of a risky vehicle to buy and own
because
there's not the support around it anymore.
Yeah. Which is pretty frightening. I mean, because some of the initial versions of the Fisker Ocean were like $70,000.
Yeah.
So buying it and then the company kind of falling away while you still own your vehicle, which is only like a year or two old.
Yeah, and that are now worth $20,000 or less.
Yeah. There's a story of, I believe, Edmunds sold their long-term Fisker Ocean for like $11,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's stories about that.
There's a lot of car for the money if you're willing to take on the risk.
So I want to talk a little bit more as we wrap up this episode about companies that succeeded through this period.
Yeah.
Rivian notably is really the only one super strong company, I would say, still, that is still here and they're still making progress. And they've teamed up with several other companies. You know, Amazon was one. Now VW is their current biggest partner.
And it makes sense because Rivian is an appealing design. It's a useful truck. So Rivian actually made it happen. They were a startup at one point, and now they're a company that's building trucks and delivering trucks as they have for the last couple of
years.
And they
became profitable like recently.
And of course, Tesla did the same thing, although the Cybertruck is not the blazing success that they had hoped. It seems, because there was that talk of, you know, the Cybertruck is going to be competing with the F-150 in sales, and that's not the case.
Yeah, it did not, and it also, I just read another story recently, maybe even this morning, that they're pausing production of the Cybertruck again.
Yeah.
So they're kind of sitting on lots, or their stores, because they don't have dealerships.
There's even some controversy around the amount of inventory that's sitting in lots.
Like abandoned parking lots, like abandoned malls. So there's as far as
there's a lot of stock. Yeah,
there's a Cybertruck, a sea of Cybertrucks.
Yeah.
But Tesla, as a company itself, I mean, it's pretty successful. But it was around before this period I'm talking about, which is about 6 years ago, 6 to 7 years ago, this type of period. So, but there's a couple of upcoming companies too. Tello is one. So Nathan, once again, went out to a location in California, and he brought us a really pretty interesting video. He actually drove a prototype. So like if Alpha had a driving prototype we could drive, I would say, heck yeah, let's
yeah,
let's
include them on this portion of the.
Yeah, I would include them here, but that wasn't the case. But the Tello,
yeah,
you know what it reminds me of? A small canoe.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because it's got that kind of cab forward design to it. It reminds me a little bit of a Mini Cooper because they've pushed the wheels out into the four corners to try and maximize the packaging. And this is a really interesting design. It's a very small truck that takes really great advantage of the space. Is it five-seater?
Yeah, so we're looking at the one with basically five seats, or actually maybe four, but definitely four doors and four full-size seats. And they're talking about, you know, a lot of people were concerned about, you know, crash worthiness of this truck. But, you know, they're telling us, at least right now, that they have accounted for all the testing. And,
yeah.
And they're going to be doing, you know, certification of this.
And it's also, this is another design that lets the bed and the cargo area expand into the passenger compartment. So you can make more use of that bed, which is great. So this is a really interesting design. Like you said, they've got a working prototype that Nathan has gotten to film, get his hands on, check it out. That is not the end-all be-all of getting the truck to production because, like we said, there are plenty of the trucks on the earlier part of this list.
That we did the same with.
That you did the same with. So still, it's a huge battle that they have in front of them to be able to bring this truck to market. But we're hopeful.
Yeah.
As we are with Slate.
Exactly.
It's another truck that we really want to see hit the market. We want to test it and drive it.
And Slate kind of came out of nowhere also, almost blindsided me when we first saw that prototype image.
Yeah, some spy shots of a prototype on a trailer.
And boom, there was a huge event in California all of a sudden.
You think those spy shots were intentional?
They might be.
It could be.
It wouldn't be the first time. It's probably clever promotion. But it's once again, a very simple, little, tiny truck.
It seemed when those spy shots came out, there was some basic information available about the truck of what it was. It wasn't a total question mark.
Yeah.
So that might have been a planned
thing. Yeah, because if you just saw it by itself.
You wouldn't know this is a $25,000 truck from.
From Jeff Bezos' backed company called Slate.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a little suspicious.
There's information around it when those first photos kind of surfaced. Regardless, though, the idea of this truck is kind of similar in some ways to what we were talking about with the Bollinger on a much smaller scale. This is going to be a simpler truck that's not shooting for nearly as lofty goals of its capability. The towing capability is very limited.
Yeah.
The range is very limited. Despite the way they look, it's not going to be an off-road truck because at present, it's a rear drive only vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool about it is how modular they are.
Yeah, and also should be simple, more affordable. Starting prices should be around $27,000. Of course, with some options and colors. And
probably going to get pricier.
Into the 30s for sure, maybe mid-30s with some options, especially their cap and their second row of seats that they have optional. On this little truck, but it has a lot of backing, you know.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos, you know, some of his money and also some of the money from some of his, I wouldn't say friends.
Well, and the other thing that I like about this truck is they're not claiming anything that to me seems impossible to do. They're not claiming that this is going to tow 50,000 pounds and have 12,000 horsepower.
And cost $12,000?
Yeah. So it seems realistic what they're promising with this truck. I do think a lot of the options are probably going to hike up the price quite a bit, which will be a little bit of a bummer, but still a really cool concept and a neat thing that I'm looking forward to.
And also a lot of like people who work now at Slate that we found out work there have come from the industry. You know, a lot of Stellantis folks are there and, you know, a lot of people who actually understand the business and can really make this happen.
Yeah, so this as a concept, kind of like when Rivian was still getting going, it seems to have a lot of potential.
Exactly. And so does Tello. I mean, Tello doesn't have Jeff Bezos behind it, but it also has, you know, a lot of the brain power that first created Tesla and some of the technologies behind Tesla. So they do have a lot of know-how in building the Tello truck. And there's one more company I wanted to discuss, which is Scout. Scout is a new brand, but reintroduction of a classic brand, classic name, but also backed by Volkswagen
yeah.
in this case.
which is a huge backer because that's a legacy manufacturer that has the know-how, they've got the manufacturing capabilities, they have all of the connections for part suppliers, material yeah. suppliers, software, any kind of thing that this truck needs, them being partnered up with Volkswagen, yeah. they should be able to get access to pretty easily. The interesting thing, though, is that Scout is not... It seems like they have some more independence from Volkswagen than some of the other brands.
Yeah, so it's not like as close as Audi is to Volkswagen yeah. as Scout is to Volkswagen. And I think they're pretty precise. But as always, I was actually there in Denver when they had some prototypes here in Denver, and I was able to sit in the truck and the SUV, the Terra and the Traveler. Some of those names are still a little bit difficult for me to remember.
Yeah.
But there's also the Harvester, which is the range extended version of it. So the Terra truck, actually, you know what surprised me about it is it's almost as big as an F-150.
Yeah.
Because I was expecting it to be a Rivian size.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's actually larger.
And that's another thing worth mentioning, too, is they are partnering up with Rivian on some parts, on some software.
Yes.
But this is not a Rivian R1T.
This
is a completely different platform.
It has a solid rear axle.
Solid rear axle is body on frame.
Yeah.
So it's a very different vehicle from the Rivian.
Exactly. And a lot of these companies we mentioned, so Tello and Slate, they're promising some production in 2026.
Yeah.
Scout is promising production in 2027. So they're coming. I mean,
I'm so looking forward to that.
But it's still 2 years away.
It
Can
is.
Can you believe it?
It's going to be hard to hold my breath for that long, but it's such a cool design,
yeah.
cool concept, and I really believe that this has the potential to be the best off-road EV or even just electrified.
They're talking off-roader. About locking differentials,
yeah.
Great tires, 35s, all the elements. I mean, they're kind of checking off a lot of the yeah. Elements that you really need for a very capable vehicle.
Should be really
and it's
cool.
also designed and styled really, really, really nicely.
Yeah,
really
they are.
Professionally.
They're great looking. I'm sure it's going to be pricey, but
yeah,
very cool.
Yeah, they're promising something like 55 or 60 grand starting price.
We'll see if
but
sticks.
Especially with options and some of the things we're seeing here. This is going to be a pricey truck.
Any projected prices for upcoming vehicles and upcoming EVs especially, I always take with a grain of salt.
Probably a huge grain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the list.
Of course, the legacy manufacturers have had
they're all there.
Electric trucks as well. Sierra EV, Silverado EV.
F-150 Lightning.
The Lightning, the Hummer EV. Yeah. And we're still looking forward to the Ram Rev.
Yeah.
At some point.
And the Ram Charger.
And the Ram Charger.
Ram. And also, like we were saying, so the next, I mentioned, like the last 6 years have been very exciting and up and down. I think the next 2 to 3 years are also going to be very exciting and up and down.
Yeah. Makes our jobs easy because there's a lot to talk about.
Exactly. So let us know what you think in the comments below. Do you remember some of these brands like Atlas and Lordstown?
Yeah.
And
it's hard to keep them all straight because there's been a lot.
Keep track of the all of it. So thanks for joining us once again, and we'll see you next time where you will see exactly which new truck we purchased for the company for testing. And also stay tuned to No Pain, No Gain, our video series on
awesome
TFL
series.
Off-Road. Because cheap cars and trucks
yeah,
are in it.
And one of them doesn't make it.
Which... I don't think that's something new for us.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a ton.
A vehicle actually dying in the middle of a video series is new.
Like permanently dead.
Yeah, stay tuned. You have to watch this. So TFL Offroad channel or alltfl.com. And also, I heard Karish podcast is growing.
That's what they keep telling us.
So check out Karish. You got to check
it out.
It's
a good podcast.
Yeah, nice. Thanks as always.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.